Ministry adventure. All right. You're going to tell us about where you're going and all that, right?
Okay.
Okay. Awesome. All right. There you are, buddy.
Thank you. Well, I wasn't planning on doing that, but I will. Courtney and I, after feels like a long season out of pastoring, accepted a pastorate up in the mountains of Idaho. And it is bittersweet because we have grown to love this church family, and my children especially are excited but very saddened to leave Covenant. This is a special house of worship, and I think it's easy when you sit week after week to forget and to not recognize, but God has done and is doing something here that is affecting this region in positive ways. And in fact, there is such a hunger among the pastoral leadership in this house for his presence that I can't help but think that there is going to continue to be an increasing acceleration of God's anointing within this house. And from the moment that I met Pastor Brett and his family and Pastor David and Bobby, and I knew there's something that God has sown within this family into this region. And when you talk about decades of faithfulness, not just in the existing structure, but this place was founded through a family. God is raising up through that family an anointed people. And I think there's some hopes and dreams, and this has nothing to do with my notes, but there's a prophetic sense that is beginning to stir where there have been words spoken in this house that have laid dormant and that have almost been forgotten. We're afraid to reach for them because it has taken so long to see the culmination of that word come to pass. But this is what I believe the Lord is beginning to speak to my heart, even as I'm standing here, that words that have laid dormant, that we have become afraid to almost reach for, where there's a sense of weariness and well-doing, God is beginning to stir. And some of you are feeling that as you come in the house, that you are noticing something different, that it's not like the 90s, but there's a shift that is happening. And where it was hard to reach for God before, it is becoming easy again. I want to talk today about prayer. Pastor's been talking about prayer, amazing words that will help lead you into a higher level of prayer. But there was something that began to stir in me as he messaged me to ask if I would speak today. And I began to think about what are some of the things that I know within my own life that have blocked me from sensing like heaven is even hearing me. You ever felt like God's not even hearing you? Like God is distant? I mean, honestly, any of you who don't feel that way, you're not praying. The reason you don't feel that way is because you're not even trying to talk to him. I have often felt, God, where are you? And the truth is, I remember one time, and this is absolutely true, but the statement is, if God feels far away, who moved? It's a great question. But you pray, and as the words leave your mouth, it's like they hit a ceiling and fall back on you. You cry out with tears, but there's no sense of breakthrough. And the truth is, sometimes that's because you're in a season of maturing and testing. That's true. There are times when the Bible talks about God as being a hiding God. He doesn't really distance himself from you, but he will cause you to have to run after him to reach the same level of intimacy that you had before in ease. And God does this to strengthen you because God doesn't want you to stay exactly as you are. When you first get born again, it's like you're in permanent revival for weeks. God is so close to me, I'm saved. But as you go on, and this is where so many falter. As you go on, it's like, God, wait a minute. It used to be, I just had to think the word J, not just the whole name Jesus, but I thought the letter J and the glory of God came on me. But now, God, I raise my hands and I cry out and I don't sense it. It is because God wants to take you to a greater place of maturity. He doesn't want you to stay at a surface level of just butterflies and excitement. He wants you to reach into higher places. So there are seasons of testing. I don't say that. Sometimes it's spiritual warfare. Sometimes there's so much hell going on around you. The forces of darkness arrayed so much against you that there is a battle. Some of you guys got good lives. Everybody look at me like, I've never experienced that. Liars! Sometimes it is. It's a spiritual battle. And you got to fight through that stuff because people around you are going through things and spirits are coming against you and attacking your family and all this. And it feels like, where is God? So that's true. But you know, the thing that I have sensed the most in my life that has kept me from having that openness to God is really relational. Broken relationships we refuse to make right. A sense of relational disconnect within my family. And so this is the core idea that I want to get into. Because let's be transparent. Sunday mornings are hard if you're married and have kids. They're challenging. It's hard to keep in relational purity when you can't find the brush and there's kids running around looking for clothes and you can't find your own clothes and your wife is looking beautiful as she always does, but at you in a certain way. What could you help a little bit? And this morning my kids were extra testy. My 7-year-old daughter, we're sitting there. This beautiful moment, just sitting there, the worship's on, I'm reviewing my word, and she goes, Dad, you sure look different now than when you were younger. I don't know where she's going with this, but she decided to get expressive. She goes, you just look so different. Affirmation is not one of your spiritual gifts, I can tell right now. Down the hall, my son comes downstairs with a side part in his hair, and his mom likes him to have a little bit of a modern thing. You know, apparently messy's the way to go. And my son goes, well, Dad combs his hair this way. And my wife looks at him and says, well, your dad's a little nerdy. But let's be real. All those jokes aside, it's hard to stay in relational purity all the time with your spouse and your family. And yet, I'm going to get into this, but the Bible talks about that if you have impurity, if you have division, if you have breakage in a horizontal relationship, that it affects your vertical relationship with God. I remember soon after Courtney and I got married, and we did not spend very long dating. We met physically in March. We were engaged in May and married in August. I don't suggest that as a general rule. We were very different people. I was very stubborn and set in my ways. And she also was nearly perfect. And it's hard to live with someone who's set in your ways and you're perfect. But people talk about the honeymoon phase. And I'm like, this is not honeymoon. If it wasn't for Jesus, we'd have been divorced like the first week 7 times. Where's the honeymoon phase? But I'll tell you, and I was serving in ministry at that time, and I'll never forget because I was serving in ministry. I had to lead in worship and different things at the church we were in. And I remember one Sunday morning getting up, and we just had a big fight, and we were in division. And I'm reaching to God to have something to be able to share, to be able to encourage. And it's like there is a wall between me and God. And I realized very quickly that if there's a wall between me and my spouse, that it will create a division between me and God. I've had to stop often on the way to church, look at my wife and go, honey, I'm sorry. I was short. I was not patient enough. I was not loving enough. Please forgive me. And you know what's amazing is when we make real peace, instantly, it's like God is there. He never left, but he does withdraw himself when you have relational division. Jesus actually spoke to this in many places within scripture, but I want to look at this one because this specific place in Matthew 5, 23 and 24 is fascinating. It says, therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, then come and present your offerings. This is how much God cares about us being in right relationship. Because here we see a people who they've walked into the back door of the church. They're beginning to worship. They're going to give their offerings. They're coming in to do all of this stuff. And God stops them mid-sacrifice. He says, no, no, no. Don't bring that here. First, go and reconcile. Why? Because I cannot receive what you are bringing until you do what you can to make relationships right. I'm glad four people think that. This really is radical because you're doing something sacred. You're worshiping God. You're sacrificing your time. But God says, no, 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 no. If this isn't right, this can't be right. Because I created you to be in community so that we could be in community. That's why it's so crazy when people say, well, I just worship God at home. I'm glad you should. But you need to go to church. You don't know how sanctified you are until you get involved in church. Or you start leading a ministry. But you're mid-worship and God says, stop. Be right with others before you try to worship me. Why? Because reconciliation with others, keeping right relationships, is not optional extra credit. It's part of our worship. God cares about this, the condition of your heart, more than the performance of your praise. He said, don't try to connect to me while you're intentionally disconnected from them. Relationship is always before ritual. And here's the truth. God's not deaf. He's not powerless, but he will not partner with hypocrisy. Answered prayer is God partnering with his people. God doesn't just grant requests. He moves in alignment with his nature and purposes as we pray those things out. And if you want to know how to pray that way, keep listening to the series that you're going to get and the series that we've gotten before. But if we're out of alignment, if we're walking in pride, bitterness, broken fellowship, we begin to ask him to bless something that contradicts his heart. And let me just tell you, he won't do it. There's a number of things that talks about when God hears and when he doesn't. And we love the verses that talks about God hearing us and God will never leave me nor forsake me. And God sticks closer than a brother. And that is all absolutely true. God isn't leaving you, but there are times when his ears are deaf to you because he is pushing you to do something that you don't want to do. I'm going to quickly give a couple and then I'm going to keep going back into this main idea. But one is persistence in sin. This is what it says in Psalm 66:18. If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. What does that mean? It doesn't mean when you make a bad choice, when you fall into a temptation that you struggle with, it's when you willfully choose sin. Because that's what you desire. There's this amazing principle in the Bible where the story of David really speaks about this. David did horrible things by any metric, by any standard, any culture. David did horrible things. He committed adultery and then murdered, essentially with his power, the man whose wife he committed adultery with. And yet, God said this of David. He's a man after my own heart. How can that be? I mean, we hear the preaching, God, you know, I just read it. If you regard iniquity in your heart, if you're thinking about it, if you keep doing it, if you do that, God won't hear you. How could someone like that be a man after God's own heart? Here is the reasoning. The moment that it was exposed, his first thought was not to cover what he had done, but to repent and run after God again. Why? Because his primary value was not the sin that he had committed, but his relationship with the God that he loved. This should free some of you, because this will empower you to overcome that thing that is holding onto your ankle so hard that you struggle to let go with. Get yourself into a position that you hate that and love him. Because that'll keep you from regarding wickedness in your heart. See, regarding wickedness in your heart is habitual gossiping, cheating in business, feeding secret addictions that you hold on to and don't ask for help. And then you go to God and say, bless me, Lord. I want to have fellowship with you while you cling to rebellion. Then there's Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2 said, behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor his ear so dull that it cannot hear, but your wrongdoings have caused a separation between you and your God. And your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Don't get this twisted. It's not that God suddenly goes deaf. It's that he chooses not to respond when our hearts are in rebellion. He will not empower our rebellion by giving us a false sense of acceptance through answered prayer in a rebellious time. I'm going to say that again. He will not empower our rebellion by giving us a false sense of acceptance through answered prayer in a rebellious time. And let's just be clear. You know if you're in rebellion against God or not. It's not that mysterious. When you love this thing, sin, whatever it is, more than you love your connection to him, you're in rebellion. When this is still pulling on you, but you hate it because of your love for him, that's not rebellion. You just need help. So, this tells us that when we're in that place, whether it's rebellion or the struggle, the first thing we need to do is go to him for forgiveness and help. It's the only prayers we should pray in those times. We don't need to pray about blessing. We don't need to pray. We need to pray, God, help me because of this. All right, so now we get back and we get this really great scripture that comes from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. And it says this, you husbands in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way. There is a huge sentiment out there that says women are impossible to understand. And you know the truth is, it's a total cop-out. Women are challenging at times to understand. Why? Because they think differently than we do as men. But they're not impossible to understand. Sometimes, you know, all it takes to fix it is a little tenderness. Getting out of your pride. Laying yourself down and just being a loving, nice person. I know this because I figured it out. Even when I'm right, if I'm a jerk, I'm wrong. No, the women like this. Then it says this, and show her honor as a fellow heir of grace. Why? So that your prayers will not be hindered. Men, if your relationship with your kids and your spouse is about being always right, then you're missing it. They need your love and your warmth more than they need you to be right. Jesus came and became wrong so that we could all be right. Jesus tells us in the epistles that we are to love our spouses like Christ loved the church. Lay down your pride, men. And love your family first. Why? Because when you do that, when you are a walking example of grace and love and humility, you will become a walking example of strength and Christ-likeness and godly character. And in that, you will find an open heaven over your prayer life. Let me just tell you right now, I believe God loves to find fathers who want to live and lead and look like him. And bless them and their families like crazy. Amen. See, it's clear as you get. You can't mistreat your family. You can't dishonor her. You can't live selfishly at home. And expect to walk into your prayer closet with open heavens. If you want your prayers to be heard, really love your family, listen, serve, protect, make them feel valued, lead in humility. You can't be a tyrant at home and expect God to answer your Lord bless me prayers. Here's a truth. Not just your family, which they should be easier to love, although sometimes when their daughter goes, "You really look different." But one thing that we often forget, and because we're in such a divided climate in this nation, and there really is a good and an evil and things that are going on, but we sometimes forget that loving people is not optional. It's just that simple. It doesn't need any clarification. There's no expansion upon that. We are called to love people. And that equals in forgiveness. Mark 11:25, whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father in heaven, who is in heaven, will also forgive you your offenses. Matthew 6:14-15. For if you forgive other people their offenses, what will happen? Your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Wish he didn't put the second part in. That makes it even harder. But if you do not forgive, he's making it clear. He's like, in case you didn't hear the first time, if you do not forgive other people, your Father will not forgive your offenses. Unforgiveness is one of the greatest clogs in the pipeline of answered prayer. It blocks the flow of God's presence. And here's the reason. As horrific of things happen to us in life, and there's people in this room, you could tell stories that would knock us flat. Things have happened to you that you didn't deserve, that you didn't cause, that were unjust in every way. As horrific as that is, our rebellion against God is so much greater than anything that could ever happen to us. And God has chosen unreservedly to forgive us, to pay for everyone, even those who don't accept the payment. And in light of that reality, unforgiveness is an offense against God. Because he says, look at what I have forgiven you. I created you. I made you. I gave you choice. You rebelled against me. And I then paid the penalty. Not just forgave you. I made it like it never happened. And then you hold on to this stuff over here. That's why it will block God from hearing you and will reject intimacy during times of unforgiveness. This is heavy. This is real. Because let's be honest. People go through horrific things. I've been through some hard stuff. I've had to forgive people. Others that I've heard stories of, they've gone through stuff that I can't even imagine. How do you even forgive? Just a moment, I'll tell you when. We're going to watch a video. There was a serial killer called the Green River Killer. And he was one of the most horrific murderers in the Northwest. At the sentencing, a lot of parents came of these young women who were killed and who were so angry and hated him and said, "I want you to burn." But one man stood up, and I want you to go ahead and watch this with me real quick. I'll never forget watching that video several years ago, because there was a man whose daughter was horrifically, brutally murdered. And he stood in the courtroom facing the one who did it. And because of his relationship with God, and only because of that, he could look at this man and say, I forgive you. Now here's what's powerful. Through every one of the accusations that was thrown out before, that murderer sat there stone-faced. Nothing touched him until God entered the room through the words of that father and said, I forgive him. And it broke even the hard-hearted murderer. There's another incredible woman of God by the name of Corrie Ten Boom. And she was powerful. If you ever have a chance to look up her story, do that. But Corrie Ten Boom went through a concentration camp with her family. And many of her family members were murdered, including her own sister. And after the war, she became an evangelist of sorts and preached around. And at one point, she was preaching in a church in Munich. And in the crowd, she saw one of the guards of the concentration camp that she had been living at where her sister was murdered. When the service ended, he approached her, smiling, said, Fraulein, I've become a Christian. I know God has forgiven me of the cruel things I did there, but I would like to hear it from you as well. Will you forgive me? Corrie says of this moment that her heart froze, the memories hit like a wave, her sister's frail body, the humiliation, the cruelty that was heaped upon her, and even this man in front of her was part of that. And she prayed silently, Jesus, I cannot forgive him. Give me your forgiveness. In obedience, she extended her hand, and as she did, she felt the presence of God work through her arm, down her arm, into his hand as they held it. And she looked at him and said, I forgive you, brother, with my whole heart. And in that moment, she was released. Here is the prayer that you can pray that will be heard when you're harboring unforgiveness and pain like that. This is the only prayer that you should pray in those moments. I don't know if I can do it myself. In fact, I don't think I can. But God, feed me your forgiveness so that I can obey you and forgive. Jesus. Here's a few very basic, I'm going to skip, there's probably a slide that'll skip, but here's a few very basic practical steps to relational purity in prayer. First one is do a daily check-in with the Holy Spirit. He will bring to your heart if there's a relational break somewhere. He'll help you. Say, Lord, is there anyone I need to forgive or make things right with? And then, when he highlights someone, you make the first move. Don't wait for them. Even if you weren't in the wrong, because a lot of the time you won't have been in the wrong, and yet there's a relational break. God didn't say in that scripture that we read earlier that said if you know that there's something wrong in your relationship and you're at fault, leave your offering and go. But if you're not at fault, go ahead and just worship me. He said if you know your brother has aught against you, didn't matter who's at fault, go and in the power that you have, try to reconcile. If they don't want to reconcile with you, you don't have to keep fighting it out. You do all that you can, and God will meet you there, and you'll find the heavens opened over your life. How will you know if you've done all you can? You'll find the heavens opened over your life. Be specific in confession if you were wrong. I was wrong when I. Specific is really important. And then bless them in prayer. This is hard when they're the ones wrong. But really, pray blessings on them, that God would pull them close to him, that his grace would transform him. And I don't mean, God, let a brand new car drop right on top of them out of heaven. I mean real prayers for their salvation, for their growth, for their joy in Christ. Pray blessings upon them, and then keep short accounts. How do you do that? Get into the presence of God. I remember one of the first times that I experienced the presence of God and I had some unforgiveness in my heart. Someone had offended me at school and I was a grade schooler of all things, but someone had offended me and I had unforgiveness. I hardly knew what that was, but I remember the moment that I got into the glory of God's presence, I couldn't even grab a hold of that thing. It was just gone. I let it go. Now, having done all this, And I'm drawing near to the end, which is a dangerous statement for a preacher to make. But having done all this, this is going to lead you to effective prayer. So I'm going to give you 5 practical steps. I didn't give them to you in the bulletin because I wanted this heavily relationally focused. But 5 practical steps to help increase and deepen your prayer life. Number 1, set aside focus time. This is one of the hardest things. This is so intimidating for some reason. And you don't need to spend 3 hours on your knees to be effective in prayer. Start where you are. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places to pray. We have some of the most amazing parks in the nation, very close right here, where you could go up into private places in nature, if that's your deal, and just meet with God. Find time to do that, but also find time to do it daily. Sometimes early in the morning, sometimes at night, but dedicate time to God, and then to all the power that you have. Do not miss that. Set all your alarms. And then once the alarm goes on, throw your phone somewhere far, far away and meet with God. This is a foundational piece of strong prayer. But the second one is this, and this one might surprise you, but talk to God all the time. Once you've set aside focus time and you've had that, carry that awareness with you throughout the day. Prayer isn't about clocking in hours, but living in that ongoing conversation with God. Amazing apostle of faith, Smith Wigglesworth, he often said, I never pray longer than 20 minutes, but I never go more than 20 minutes without praying. You should get into a habit where you're almost like sending text messages to God throughout the day. Jesus, I'm just thinking about you. Thanks for coming into my mind. God, thank you for your mercy and grace. God, thank you for that interaction I just had. Consistently thank him. Listen, people do this kind of thing before coming to Christ all the time. It's called cursing. Every time they encounter something, there's a curse coming out. Flip the script. Send a text to God. He'll get it. And he'll probably send one right back. You might encounter something where all of a sudden you got a warmth and a strength to get through it in a better way. Why? Because you sent a text to God throughout the day. And do it constantly. I mean, you could become the office weirdo. Walk down the hall going, man, Jesus, thank you so much. I love you so much. You're so awesome. Someone's watching you going, who are they talking to? I'm going to stay far away from them. Pastors talked about this, but pray the word. If you want to know what to pray and what God thinks and what kind of things God empowers, it's right in here. Find scripture and pray it. Pray in the Spirit. Ephesians 6:18 says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. This means letting the Holy Spirit guide you in prayer. Sometimes it is so deep it's through groans. And then the last thing, and this is challenging, but expect answers. Expect that God, it's not like talking to a ceiling. He wants to partner with you. If you've done all the relational work, your relationships are good, your spouse doesn't hate you, your kids don't hate you, or if they do, you've done everything you can to make it right, expect God to hear you. Expect God to answer. And sometimes it's not in the way that you would think. You might ask God to completely remove a situation and you find instead you got the strength to go through it. But God will answer you. We could get the keyboard up here. This is what I feel so strong. There is, I at the beginning of this, God began to stir within me. There is something happening in this house. And I know that you want to be a part of it. But one of the best things that you can do first to get into position, to be a part of the flow of God's power and anointing through this covenant family and through this region, is to make sure that your relationships are right, that you're not holding on to anything that hinders you from seeking God, that there is a pure place that God can flow into your life. Because what happens is the presence of God stirs among a people, and as a group of people are stirring together, it does something. Right now, this is the call to action. I want you to begin to ask the Lord. Is there anybody, start with this room, is there anybody in this room that there's just a relational disconnect? There's something broken that I know is hindering my ability to run to God with all that I am. Or maybe they're not in this room. Maybe they're out there, but the Holy Spirit is beginning to stir. You have a name. You have a face. You know there's somebody that you need to get right with. I want to tell you, if your spouse, a family member, a co-worker, a brother or sister in Christ, it is time now to purify every relationship. Because if Corrie Ten Boom can forgive a man who helped murder her sister, if a grieving father can forgive face to face the one who murdered his daughter horrifically, if they can do that, if the Holy Spirit can bring the forgiveness of Christ to a created being like us who were absolutely owned, we were created, we are stuff. If he could bring the love of God into our rebellious hearts and cause absolute forgiveness to happen, if God can do that, then we can forgive. And we can forgive. Would you just close your eyes for a moment and begin to ask God, is there anybody that I need help forgiving? And this is what I'm going to do. Maybe nobody will come up, but maybe some of you, you're like, I'm fighting that. What happened to me was so much that I don't know that I can really forgive, and I need help, or I'm struggling with this issue in my life, and I need help to see it released. I love God, I hate it, but I need help. If there's something where you just want a little extra prayer, then in just a moment, I'm going to invite you to come forward and prayer team will pray with you. But I believe from the bottom of my heart that right now, it's time to get absolutely right. Every vertical relationship now cleared. I don't know if we could get some vocal backup. That just a little something, because I believe that there are spirits attached to some of this that are going to be released from people who are watching. There are things that are holding people latched. Listen, if you need to have someone pray with you specifically, would you just come up to one of these sides and we will come and pray with you. If you know, because that step is so powerful, and that uncomfortable step forward will strengthen you like nothing else. If you need that, come up to one of the sides. But otherwise, would everyone stand in this room? Because we're going to pray a few things together. This is what I want to ask. It's hard to come up, but you're sitting down there and you know, I got to let go of something. I got something that's holding on to me. I need to forgive. I need to let go of a hindering sin that is affecting me. It's holding me back. There's something that is blocking the purity of my connection to God, and I want rid of it. If that's you in this place, would you just raise a hand to heaven and say, I just want rid of it right now. Jesus. I want everyone in this room to pray with me. And we're going to release some things vocally. Say this, in Jesus' name, I release and forgive all that I've held on to. I give it to heaven. All attachments, I cut off. All the spirits attached to this thing, go now in Jesus' name. You have no right. Don't touch me again. You are commanded to leave my life because of the blood of Christ. I have forgiven. I am forgiven. And I cut you off in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, go ahead, say, now, Lord, I'm forgiving, but I know myself. And the next time I see him, I'm going to need your help. Guard me from those spirits that push me to hold on to it. Guard me from this flesh that wants to hang on to bitterness. I want to be free in the way that you freed me. To the uttermost, all the way, no chains, forgiven and forgiving. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Turn it over to me.
Well, this is a word that probably some folks need to respond to. And maybe you need to swallow your pride a little bit and just step on up here and just say, Lord, I need help. I need help with forgiveness. I need help with something I'm holding on to that I need to let go. There's going to be some folks up here and pray for you. Who is that? It might just be one person. But I know the Holy Spirit would not bring a word like this. And there wasn't somebody that needed to respond. Let's just take a moment. Hallelujah. We're going to wait. Holy Spirit, just speak to whoever it is. And really all of us could probably be up here dealing with something. The Lord deal with all of us. And if there's somebody that needs to respond, Lord, just put it on their heart. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We're just going to come and meet with you. We're going to come and let you touch us. We're going to come and let you heal us. We're going to come and let you minister to us today. There's no condemnation. There's no fear. There's no shame. Those are lies of the enemy. But Father, we come to a loving Heavenly Father. We come to the Holy Spirit who wants to set us free. He the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. So we just open our hearts to you, Lord. Hallelujah. Why don't you lead us in something there? Just take a moment and just worship the Lord as we end the service today.